Hello and welcome to the Outlander SASMAC fan podcast. I'm Ajlene.
And I'm Gracie.
And this is just a podcast where we talk about the latest episode of Outlander and all the things that might have happened during the week. But sometimes we don't even do that because, like this week, because this episode was exciting.
Yeah, we're not going to go too far off tangent, I don't think, this time.
Hopefully. I don't know.
It is a major improvement on last week.
Yes. Yes, it was.
I mean, I know some people did like last week's episode. I was not a fan. This week was way better. It was written by Matt Roberts, who is one of the main writers, you know, and he's also an executive producer. So
yeah, so it was a good episode.
It was a very good episode. And it opens up, of course, you know, last week we had the whole Lord Lovett thing where, you know, he plays the game pretty well, you know, Scottish Game of Thrones.
The old fox.
Yes. Ironically enough, he does play Edmure Tully on Game of Thrones. It was interesting.
Who does he play?
Edmure Tully, which is, no, he doesn't play Edmure. My bad. I fucked up. Okay. The guy, this is the craziest episode of Game of Thrones. Yes, okay, I am going to go off tangent for a second, but only for a second, I promise. Okay, so this week on Game of Thrones, we had Tobias Menzies, who plays Frank, and he was Edmure Tully, who was, you know, previously in the Red Wedding, right?
Yeah.
And then we have his grandfather, who is the black grandfather or uncle, or something like that, who's Blackfish Tully. And Blackfish is played by the man that played Simon Fraser in Outlander. And one of the characters that Sansa and Jon go to for help played Father Baen in the first season of Outlander. So Outlander and Game of Thrones are definitely swapping a lot of actors.
Gee, I wonder why. Because everything's filmed in Britain.
But yeah, anyway, so we saw Simon Fraser, you know, play the game pretty well, where he's neutral and in the fact that, you know, he's both supporting the cause and not supporting the cause and saving his own skin in the process. So That's where we were last week.
Yep. And then he sent 100 men with them to Perth, where Prince Charles' army is, right? And yep. and most of these men are cotters and farmers and stuff, and they don't know anything about fighting. So yep. That's kind of where this episode kind of starts off-ish.
Yes.
Where they have
and with Claire's overview, she's talking about how, you know, there's actually a few, more than a few, that end up abandoning the ranks before they even get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're like, why would I fight for, you know, Scotland? I just want my little house and family.
Exactly. So, there were a lot of reunions this episode, and...
Oh, a quick mention, because it sounds... Well, it's not silly or anything, but they were talking about eating bannock, and I don't know if... I didn't know what bannock was for the longest time. You know,
I thought that they were, like, scones.
They are.
Ah, look at me.
Yeah, they're like, it's fried bread. I had some actually the day before I watched, no, the day of when I watched it, not because of the episode, but because there is a local powwow in my area, and they serve bannock and stew to all the guests.
Oh, man, I hope they're serving that at the Boone Hall thing I'm going to in September.
They might be serving haggis, which is surprisingly pretty good. I don't care what anybody says.
As long as they don't tell me it's haggis, I'll try it.
Dude, it tastes like meat oatmeal.
I don't like oatmeal.
Oh, you're the worst. Say you're Scottish. Bullshit.
That means I don't like porridge either, which is a form of oatmeal.
Oatmeal and porridge are basically the same thing.
Yeah, I know. It's just like grits and hominy down here in the South.
Grits are so gross.
Grits are with water and hominy's made with milk. That's the difference.
Porridge and oatmeal is the same thing. It can be made with water or milk. My mom likes to put salt on her porridge, and so it's disgusting. No, like that's like a real Scottish thing, I assume, because, you know, it's how she grew up.
Yep. So we get quite a few reunions this episode.
Yes.
Go ahead, Aislinn. Tell them who.
Okay. I thought you were going to tell them. Okay. No. So it is because I just went on my tangent with Bannock. By the way, did you know Bannock is delicious? Sorry. It's actually.
I was going to say it.
Okay. It's Rupert and Angus. And Angus is like, Claire, I washed my mouth out with whiskey just for a kiss. And then she, like, turns his head right at the last minute and kisses his cheek.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then she's like, well, where's Willie? And it's Angus and Rupert are like, oh, man, it was terrible. It was just, I can't believe it. And, you know, it's this whole, like, sad thing, like, you know. Like,
you think the boy's dead. Something
terrible has happened. And here Claire and Jamie are thinking he's died or something. No, he just got married to some Irish lass and went to America.
Which is, you know, like dying. I mean, what?
Of course. Men and the old ball and chain thing, huh?
Yeah. No, I meant going to America.
Get married.
You didn't even hear me. That's what makes it amazing.
No, I didn't. What did you say?
I said, no, I meant America. It's like pretty much like dying, right?
Yeah.
It's a death sentence.
I love my country.
And I love mine.
We have
mine.
Our problems.
Yeah.
We have our issues.
We just like lost all of our listeners now because I just made fun of America.
I'm American and I didn't take offense.
Good. Okay. Cool.
We also come into contact with someone else during this little segment.
And ugh, who is the worst. That
but the interesting Dougal McKenzie.
Actually, like, I think he's hot, but he's an ass.
He's very handsome for an older man.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just like, I think George Clooney is very handsome for an older man. Ah, fuck it. George Clooney's just handsome. It doesn't matter how old he is.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we run into Dougal, and of course, you know, this is a really interesting episode because I think this was really the first time, like, you know how it's actually pretty parallel to last season. In 109 of last season, The Reckoning, we saw more of Jamie's perspective. And this is the ninth episode of season 2, and I feel like this episode was also very much about Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Claire was definitely in it, but you could tell that the focus this episode was really on Jamie, where it hadn't been really, you know, since last season with the, with the Reckoning episode that he narrated. So that was definitely an interesting parallel I noticed. But so this whole episode, there's a lot of montages of learning how to train these men.
I'm surprised they didn't play Eye of the Tiger.
It was awful. Man, they needed some help, and they're like, well, when do we get some real weapons? I was like, well, first, Murtaugh was boss, right?
Oh, yeah.
First, you do this. First, you learn how to line up. Then you learn how to march.
And it's true, okay? Like, I mean, as somebody who used to be military, like, drill is very, very important for discipline. Like, that is... You know, the training.
That's how you learn your commands when you're in the middle of battle, so you know exactly what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, it might seem pointless, like, God, man, I gotta stand in line and just, you know, move my feet a certain way, but...
Make sure you don't cow kick. Trust me.
What?
Cow kick. That's like, okay, you know when they, like, lift their, they lift their legs up, like, parallel and, like, stomp down, right?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of civvies think that they lift them up, like, backwards, and that's what we call cow kicking. You see a lot of, like, cadets and shit do it. It's kind of weird. Not weird. What's the right word for it? It's a travesty. I'm sorry. I'm like, cow kicking? You see that in a military thing, and you're like, oh, God. Like, Jesus. What are you, officer cadets? Get your shit together. It's true, though.
Experience here, so not me.
I know, but like, yeah. I mean, if some people will understand if you're listening, right, from like the military perspective, but there is a sense of pride there, right, where at first, you know, especially when you're learning this, because like I was kind of a bit of a piece of shit in the military, you know, you're like, oh God, like, why do I even have to learn this drill? Like, I just want to, you know, get past basic training. But it actually is pretty important that you do have all of these commands set straight, because it is, it's a proud tradition. And, you know, knowing how to march and step, like, not only do you look good together, and it, like, you know, puts a sense of group effort and a, how do they say in French, a spirit de corps. Anyways, it's like a team spirit thing. They say it in French in Canada, and I'm not very good at French, okay? So somebody gets what I'm talking about. But
well, I had a friend in that was in
Spirit de Corps. Sorry. I had to
I had a friend that was in junior ROTC. A few friends actually that were in junior ROTC in high school.
Yeah.
And their favorite thing was actually drill team. And the best thing about that was the competitions. I went to a few of those. And even if you're not familiar with what drill teams are, if you've ever seen the Disney or Family Channel movie Cadet Kelly, you'll know exactly what that is. It's basically where they march in certain formations and present colors and do really cool tricks with guns.
Okay, so, like, I mean, my platoon didn't really... I guess, like, for our last,
cause y'all didn't do the fun part of drill.
Well, I don't know. We got to, like, march with weapons. That was kind of cool. But, we didn't do, like, the very fancy stuff. I actually got to, carry the flag to, the warrant officer. Like, that was my special duty because I was, like, the most improver. Some shit. I tell you, I was a Private Benjamin, or I was like the worst person on that.
Oh my God, Private Benjamin.
No, wow. I was like the worst.
That's a great movie, by the way.
No, like I improved a lot. I was like the worst person. And because I improved so much, like I was still pretty shit, but you know, compared to where I was doing good.
And then you got lupus, poor thing.
I know. It happens. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
But yeah, so Murtaugh and Jamie are raising a very good point. You know, you have to know this stuff. Even though it seems stupid, it's how the British fight. And if you're going to fight the British, you have to use the same tactics they do. You know?
Yeah, you can't go... is this the part where, like, you know, Dougal is an asshole?
No.
Or does that come later? No, when he goes like running.
There was a lot of training montages this episode. So
that's true. Okay, well, let's just go into it. When Dougal's like running and saying like for Scotland, like bare chested and like dirty, and he's like, "That's how you fight the British," and you're like,
"Jamie's like, fuck no, that's not how you fight the British."
Like I mean, it looks cool, and it's like very, you know, that's your idea of the Highlander, you know, fighting. But essentially, you're going to get your ass shot, like, right there through the chest.
It's not like, you know, during the American Revolution in the South, where a lot of guerrilla warfare was fought. You know, we got trees and swamps down here. You know, we got places to hide. Scotland is a lot of flatland and moors.
Have you?
Well, it, you know, in a lot of places.
Okay.
Where
Sorry.
They're doing the battles and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, exactly. Like you know,
you're not going to be able to hide behind trees in an open moor. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to do formations and stuff like that to win.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that was interesting. The whole Jamie Dougal dynamic this episode was awesome.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was like because Jamie is kind of fighting a battle against his uncle, because here's somebody who essentially, you know, trained him and, like, you know, raised him,
right,
in a sense.
A father-ish figure.
Yeah.
Not really a father. He's awful, but,
well,
you know, he's a man that Jamie was raised to respect, but at the same time, Jamie actually does know more about British fighting because he fought in France.
Yeah.
So he knows a lot more than his uncle, and he's got to assert that, you know, male dominance. Like, I know what I'm doing, dude. Just back off.
Yeah.
But
back the
while
fuck
Jamie
up.
And Dougal are, you know, hashing it out, Claire is dealing with her own issues.
Her own personal battle. Really?
Yeah. This was not in the books, really. But I like that they included it.
Because it definitely makes sense.
Yeah, and basically she's dealing with a lot of flashback scenes while she's taking care of these soldiers in Scotland. And it mainly focuses on these two American soldiers that she befriends while she's in the war.
Well, yeah, she has, like, her first flashback is actually when Myrta is yelling at the men, and she has, like, a brief flashback where she sees, like, a sergeant, I assume, you know, yelling at men to, you know, get into formation. And then around that time, she's having several flashbacks, and she actually, she's getting very irritated and, like, very upset, but without meaning to do so.
Men playing cricket, and she sees Fergus playing shinty.
Yeah.
And so she drags Fergus away from that because she's just so irritated by what she's, you know, seeing in her mind from her past.
Yeah.
Again, this is one of those things where, you know, we really don't know much about Claire up until the point where she goes back in time. I mean, we don't really know much of her experiences in the war or even before the war. So,
and I mean, that's a very interesting part of Claire when you think about it. And I mean, she survived World War II,
which is considered, I think, the deadliest war, right?
Ever. Yeah.
I mean, it's so she's bound to have some kind of, you know, issues, you know, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. And then another flashback she has is when they're eating dinner and complaining about the food, and it turns into, another flashback where she's talking to the two American soldiers and they discuss something. Do you know, I actually, grew up eating this, and it was called shit on a shingle.
What? Okay. Wait. What is shit on a shingle, then?
Okay. Shit on a shingle, in my family, because it varies, is usually, like, a minced meat or scraps of beef stew or something that's cooked with a little bit of flour, and then made into a gravy. Like, you put some onions in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really cheap. And then you put it on a slice of white bread that may or may not be toasted, and you eat it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It looks like shit on a shingle.
Okay.
I mean, it's very delicious, you know?
Yeah.
But it looks awful.
I don't know.
That actually
sounds like a hot, like, chicken sandwich or, like, a hot beef sandwich.
Essentially, except it's made with cheap cuts of meat or with ground beef. Because those were the cheapest cuts of meat you could get, you know? So that's how that works.
It sounds like
the food. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Surprise, with such a horrible name.
Okay, I didn't even know it was actually food. Now, one of the foods that they mention, imitating, where Claire is like, that is actually what they call black pudding. Now, for people who don't know what the hell black pudding is. I personally do not like black pudding, but everybody in my family loves this shit. Loves it. It's also known as blood pudding, and I'm pretty sure it's like bread.
Blood sausage, essentially.
Well, yeah, but there's like bread and stuff in it, right? I'm pretty sure.
Well, yeah. It's not much different in the way that, you know, boudin is, Cajun sausage, and boudin has rice in it.
Okay, well, anyway, so, it's basically a blood sausage, but it's, like, in a round square, and you get it at any Scottish butchery ever. But what is a lot better is actually square sausage, because it's essentially sausage that's in a square. Wow. They're very clever with the names, apparently.
I think my favorite British food name is Spotted Dick.
I've never actually eaten that. Isn't it really good?
Like a sponge cake, right?
I think so.
With like chocolate or raisins or something in it.
You know what's actually really good? This is essentially what Scottish breakfast was growing up for me. We would get square sausage, black pudding, and then potato scones. And potato scones are like this flatbread that's like fried, and it's fucking delicious. And I assume there's like a potato base in there because, you know, they're not very clever with the names, apparently.
So. Yeah. At least, you know, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody, but I think beans on toast is horrible.
Yeah.
It's like a very English staple. I'm just like, no, I don't eat baked beans anyway, and the thought of eating them with toast in the morning just...
Ugh, yeah, but, like, it really depends on what can of baked beans are you talking about. Like, are you talking the ones with...
I don't eat them at all. Like, I've never been a fan of beans. Like,
not even with, like, tomato sauce?
No, I'm a very poor, poor person. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Well.
Like, poor people survive on rice and beans. Like, that was half my childhood, but I hate beans. The only thing I'll eat is green beans or field beans.
I like beans on their own, but my mom used to, like, mix them with the... Ugh, God, I hated when she did this, but it's this thing... It's basically called mince and toddies, and it's, like, hamburger meat in, like, a sort of gravy, but, like, not a thick gravy. It's, like, en jus. Right? Or a juice. And then it's like, you know, fried and, you know, made delicious, and then you put it on some mashed potatoes and boom. But my mom used to mix like a freaking beans in there, and she's like, oh, I love that so much. I'm like, Mom, I hate you when you do this. No, like, honestly, I hate when she does that. So every time
it's interesting what kind of food you eat growing up when you don't have any money, or if you just, you know, you have interesting parents.
Yeah, well, it was a mixture of both not having any money for a time, and also having my Scottish roots, you know, there, especially with my mom, you know.
Cause... I tell you, you get very creative when you only have a limited budget. I'm gonna tell you. Like, you'll find the best cooks are probably poor people because they have to figure out how to make shitty food taste delicious.
Yeah.
All
you need is a good, Herb Amer. That's what makes everything delicious. It's like this spice mix. It's amazing.
Okay, our ADD is showing again.
Okay, we'll shut the fuck up.
We're back on schedule here.
No, we're not.
So, after the big huge fight with Dougal and Jamie, because they have a huge fight after Dougal does that whole charging in bullshit, and Jamie's, you know, explaining to him, this is not how you fucking do it, you're gonna have to listen to me. Dougal and Claire have a conversation, and Dougal at first tries to blackmail her, Which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like, I'll tell Jamie about our little deal. And she's like, bitch, I already told him. And Jewel's like so taken aback by that. Like, you told him?
Well, the part where that was the little deal that they had, what was that deal again?
The deal was that if she couldn't save Jamie, that and Jamie ended up dying, that she would marry him, where
Oh.
Dougal would get Lollybrock
I thought
and
it was
her.
grinding your corn.
No.
Sorry.
did you see that meme that somebody posted? And it was like Dougal holding his sword, charging in, like, I'm here to grind your corn.
No, bitch, you don't even know. Okay, listen. Okay, so I'm in an Outlander group here in Alberta, and hey, Abootlanders, what's up? Anyways, so what they did was the guy who plays Dougal was at a convention. They friggin' got a fake thing of corn for him to sign.
That's
I
awesome.
know.
He
I'm like,
totally runs with it too. Like, one of his charity t-shirts was like saying it's corn grinding time.
oh my God.
He's totally in on the joke. I remember
Oh,
not
it's
too long after that
hilarious.
episode aired, he had posted that Instagram photo of some corn that he was eating, and he said, guess what I'm about to do?
Oh, God.
Dirty old man.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah, so this scene was actually my favorite scene in the whole
Oh,
episode,
yeah. It's great.
mainly because of Claire's tirade, and then the part where she says, you know what? Fuck yourself. I was like, ooh. I was like that little cat from Shrek. Ooh. You know
Yeah.
what I'm talking
Well, she
about?
well, yeah, 'cause she honestly, yeah, well, she says to him, she's like, "You're a fucking narcissist or whatever," right? And he's like, and he has no clue what that means, and she's like, she explains like the Greek tale or whatever, 'cause he just doesn't get it. But anyways, it was like definitely one of those moments where when she says it, like, "Go fuck yourself," or whatever, it was like, "Oh, Claire, snap, 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 snap."
Snaps. Snaps
Yep.
for
Here.
Claire. You've seen
Can you
if
hear
you've
that?
seen if you've seen yeah, if you see Legally Blonde 2, you know how that works. It's a snap cup. Snaps for Claire.
Yep, exactly. So
She totally won that fight. But Dougal, I think, made a very good point. And that was Shit, I lost my train of thought.
grinding corn?
No. Dougal, said, maybe I am, kind of blinded by myself, and maybe I am a very proud person, but I do love Scotland, even if I am a proud dick, you know what I mean? He's like, I do love Scotland and I want the Jacobite on the throne. So
Yeah,
I don't know. I like
exactly.
Dougal. I like that I hate him, but at the same time, I understand him, even if I don't like him. Whereas Bonnie Prince Charlie, I just hate that dude.
Oh, that's because, he's always like, mark
Mark
me,
me.
mark me. No, God, shut your fucking face.
I think we missed that part. Shit. Where Dougal brings men into the camp, right? Remember, this
No,
happens.
wasn't that later on? Whoa, okay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That was our next, that's where we were headed. My
Yep.
bad. Yeah,
No,
so
oh yeah, 'cause Claire is this was the part like right after when Claire's having more like little quick flashbacks that I'm like, "Oh man, Claire has some serious PTSD." Like it's a thing.
yes.
That's kind of what they're alluding to.
Yes, Matt Roberts explained that in the blurb that they show after the episode. If you have the Stars app, they show it. And Matt Roberts, who wrote the episode, was saying, it wasn't in the books, but he thought it was an important thing to play out. So, but yeah, so Dougal brings these new men into the camp, and Jamie's like, nuh-uh. No, sir. That's not how this works. And he makes sure to tell these guys, you know, like, you're only in here, if you're here to fight for yourself because you want this, then stay. But, you know, you're risking your life, your limb, you know, everything. And if you don't believe in this cause, then you shouldn't be here. And basically all the men that Dougal brought in left.
Yep, they're like, boom, bye.
And then Jamie and Dougal get into this huge fight.
And well, yeah, because, you know, Dougal is essentially trying to undermine Jamie's authority. Exactly. And it's pissing Jamie off because, you know, he's honestly trying to make an effort, you know, to train these men. And Dougal keeps saying, no, they're ready now. We got to go now. Boom, boom. And he's like, no, these guys don't know yet. And when the time comes, that is when we'll be, you know, just we pray. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's really interesting seeing their dynamic, like I said.
Yeah. So this is the part where, like, after that fight, Claire has her flashback.
And it's a bad one.
Yeah.
It's basically when she's with those two guys that we've seen in all of her flashbacks, and they get attacked while they're on the road.
Yep.
And she ends up hearing one of them dying, and then the other, like, one's with her.
Well, yeah, like, well, the one guy's, like, stuck in the middle of the road, right? And he's, like, basically crying for somebody to come and help him, right? And
so injured.
Yeah, and the two of them are like, no, like, well, we can't get them. And Claire's like, no, I'm going to go and get them. But, you know, he's like, no, you're going to get yourself killed. So he decides that he's the one who's going to go do it. And he ends up getting...
And then he ends up dying.
Yeah.
And it's just awful. And she ends up curling up in the ditch where she's hiding at, holding her ears. And then when we come back from the flashback, she's in that same position on the grass. And Jamie sees her and... You know, he handles it really well. You know, he makes her feel a lot better.
Yeah. But it also shows, like, when she's when somebody else is coming to get her, because what does she keep saying, like, shut up, shut up, shut up, because one of the guys is, you know, out there crying for his mother or something to that effect. And obviously she does not want to hear that. So that's why she reacts. And seeing that, you know, they're readying themselves for war again, she's got, you know, those flashbacks are coming back, and, you know, it's gonna get to a point where she's gonna see, you know, some horrible stuff again. She might end up seeing, you know, people that she cares about dying again.
Yeah. And we already know how ominous this really is, because even though we're all so hopeful, we know that she ends up going to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's funny and everything, it's just like I said before, there's this ominous undertone, because we, the viewers, have been cursed with the knowledge that it's not going to work.
Yeah. So. And, she also makes this one point, you know, after the flashback, because she wants to, you know, in her own way, help. And she feels kind of like a dragonfly in amber, because she feels like she's kind of stuck there.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a nice name drop of what the title of the book is.
Yeah, which I actually didn't know that was kind of the reason why it was called that.
Well, they also alluded to it in the first season, you know.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, because when she gets the dragonfly in amber.
Yep. Yeah. From Hugh Monroe.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
Oh, my God.
Excuse the noise, by the way. I have a very whiny chihuahua.
Oh, Jiggy.
Yeah. Jiggy, hush! Mama's on the phone. She's doing a podcast. It's all right if this doesn't get edited out. Just going to apologize for it.
No, I'm not editing anything out. She's got a little whiny dog that doesn't know.
Hush, Jiggy. Hush. Come here. Come here. Yeah, that's the problem of not having a studio to do this.
Professionalism.
So very sorry about that.
No, it's cool.
So this part that comes up is, again, one of my favorite parts of the episode.
I know.
This is where a very important character shows up.
Yay!
And, basically, Jamie's, you know, by himself, taking a piss. He gotta use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this little kid comes up behind him with a knife and tries to cut his throat. And he ends up breaking the kid's arm and, you know, gets him secured and everything. And who is it, Aislinn?
Well, doesn't he introduce himself kind of weird?
He says his name is Lord William Gray.
But it's not.
Well, his middle name is William.
Yeah, well, he's lying.
This very important character. And if you are unaware of who he is,
because is Lord John Gray.
Yeah, if you are not a book reader, you don't understand. But we are so excited about having him in the show. It's the only time we'll see him this episode, or this whole season.
Yeah. You know.
But he becomes very important later on.
Yeah.
Very important.
Should we do a little bit of a spoiler?
No. Let's not spoil it. But he does become a very important character.
Very
important.
That's all we'll
say. So we were super excited as book readers.
Okay.
Like, oh my God, it's Lord John Gray.
Yeah, I was so excited. Like, in my little notes, pretty much is like a smiley face.
It's like, oh my God.
Smiley face.
Okay, so anyway, Jamie's trying to get
information
out of him. And in the books, it was a little different. In the books, he kind of does it with Claire. He initiates it, but this time Claire initiates it, which I think works out a little bit better. Anyway, Claire pretends to be some English captive.
And she's like, well, exactly. And she goes and she's like, you foul, disgusting Scot, right? How dare you, you know? And he's just, and he plays along and he's like, oh, shut up, woman, or I'll, you know,
and then he like pulls on her dress and shit and kisses her.
Well, it's like, yeah, because like he struggles with her, right? And Lord John Gray is like, he's like, no, don't hurt the lady. And
it was like, oh,
he starts treating her a little bit rough, and then she knees him in the balls, and he's like, ah, sack snack, you know?
Yeah, I bet you she really got him too.
Yeah, she probably did.
He deserved it. He was being too rough with her, but I thought that was funny. You could tell they were having fun.
It's
very reminiscent of when they saved that, you know, when they got that kid off the pillory and, you know, the first few episodes.
Yeah. But like when
work together without even saying a word to each other.
But like the part where, you know, he tries to kiss her or whatever at first and she like stops him, but then he does kiss her and she like pulls away and gives him that eye, like that side eye was like, that gave me a life. I watched it 3 times.
That turned into a very popular gif that got shared a lot.
Yes it did.
It was funny.
It was amazing.
So yeah, they managed to con John William Gray out of information about the British camp that's nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best parts of this is when, you know, Jamie lets him go saying, you know, I owe you, you know, I gave you your life back. And then John's like, yeah, I owe you a life, but don't think after my debt's paid, I won't kill you.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. First I'm going to save you, and then I'm going to murder you.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is
like,
pretty...
I'm an honorable man, so I'll pay my debt, but then I'm going to murder you.
But then, like, the part where, you know, Jamie's like, I hope I never see you again. And then, you know, all the book readers are like, ah! You're probably going to soon. It well, not soon, soon, but
well, next season.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, because somebody got into the camp, Jamie. We didn't really mention this before, but the two guards who had let Dougal's men come in got whipped 6 times, like with 6 lashes, right? So this time, Jamie says that
it makes it look like he's gonna, you know, give Dougal the punishment.
Yeah, but then he doesn't. He says that he's gonna get the 6 lashes. Now, this is a moment where they definitely did not do the makeup on Jamie's back, because
very well, it was there. It was just very faint. But I guess you can give that to the lighting.
Maybe, but like, wasn't his? Isn't like the deal with his back is he has like these deep grooves?
Yeah, but this is TV, so. I thought this was a very good character point for Jamie, because in this, he's showing these men that he is just like them, even though he's their leader. You know, he's not above being punished, too.
Yeah, which is very important, especially with the military lifestyle, because the one thing that a leader must know, or an officer, in a sense, must do, like, their most important job is to lead. And if you're not a leader...
Yeah, and I think by doing this, it showed some camaraderie, you know? Camaraderie.
Yeah.
And so the men that work under him realize that, you know, this guy is a good leader, because he'll take, you know, if he does wrong, he'll let us know.
Yeah. And so...
don't want a cocky leader that thinks he's always right.
So then what they do is they go into the British camp from the information that they got from Lord John Grey. All camoed up. And they get all the wheels off of the cannons and burn the wheels so that...
And take all the carter pins.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So not only do they need new wheels, they need new carter pins.
Yeah.
Those cannons ain't going nowhere.
Nope. No, they aren't. So, yeah.
You know, for it to be such an interestingly busy episode, we blazed through it.
Yeah, you know, we really kind of did. Like, mostly we were just kind of goofing around. We're already...
Well, I think it was because a lot of it was, like, basically stuff that you couldn't really explain, except, well, it was a training montage.
Yeah, or just without Eye of the Tiger. No, seriously, somebody please make a music video with Eye of the Tiger in the background, and I will love you forever. Please do it. Thank you.
I think Julia LeBlanc is the one that does those things. She's really well known in the fandom for doing video edits and stuff, so maybe we should get in touch with her and ask her to do it for us.
That would be amazing.
I'll look into it.
So okay, no, I'll talk about that later. So then, you know, this suddenly, you know, it's near the end where they're like at the top of, you know, the mountain with their arms up, and they're like finish their montage.
Dougal wasn't allowed to go on the raid. That was his real punishment. It was not being able to participate. So they march from where they've been training to meet with Bonnie Prince Charlie's
in Perth.
Yes. And man, Dougal was like a kid on Christmas.
Because the thing with Dougal is Dougal wants recognition, you know, for...
He wants recognition as much as he wants a Jacobite on the throne. That's why he's, you know, so Claire's not wrong when she says he's very selfish and narcissistic.
Yeah.
He wants the glory.
Yeah. You know? He wants the glory of war. Like, that's, you know, he wants to be rewarded for his efforts. So at that point, that's when Claire and Jamie, I believe somebody says there's no turning back. And Claire says... Je suis prêt, which of course is the Frasers' motto, which
also the name of this episode.
Yep, and that is "I am ready," and that's kind of where it ends off.
Yeah, I think next week is Prestipans.
Oh, okay.
I'm not 100% sure. This is episode 9, right? So 10, yeah. 11, 12.
I forget most things, so...
Oh my gosh, we're only 4 episodes and then we're done. Crazy.
I know. I'm just... it was like such a weird transition from France to back to Scotland. Like, I don't know, for me it still feels weird because the beginning of this season, you know, we're in France and everything's, you know,
opulent.
Yeah. And
well,
French.
I think this episode really, you know, got its groove, where I think the filler episode that we had last week really just didn't set off right. Mm-hmm. But this episode was awesome.
Oh yeah. So
I have no complaints. And I'm a very happy Outlander fan right now.
Me too. Me too. It was good.
But yeah, I think next week is Prestipans, and then the week after that will be the episode that Diana Gabaldon did.
Which I'm pretty excited to see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm pretty curious about that too. I have it on good authority that the July 9th episode for the U.S., is going to be an hour and a half long instead of an hour.
I believe that is good news.
Yes. I think it's because that episode is set in the 60s for the most part.
Oh.
And it's basically setting up for season 3.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see.
I don't...
get to meet grown-up Bree and...
Are you sure that it's the 9th? Because it says that it's on Google. Or not Google, Wikipedia. It says that it's July 2nd.
As far as I know, they're not doing it that weekend. Mm. So it might be July 2nd. Either way, the last episode is going to be an hour and a half long.
Okay.
And a good chunk of it, if not all of it, is going to be set in the 60s, where Claire and her daughter Bree are. And we'll see adult Roger, which is going to be fun. Played by the very sexy Richard Rankin. So,
yeah, I'm so excited. You have no idea.
Well, Richard Rankin was actually my second choice. Okay, I am in love with Kevin Ryan. I am. I admit it. And he
so much so that he is Facebook friends with you.
He is Facebook friends with me.
I tried becoming Facebook friends with him, and he wouldn't let me. So.
But he played Francis McGuire on Copper, which was a BBC America TV show that got canceled after 2 seasons because of negotiations with contracts. Like, it was the highest rated show, so
was it
ended
really?
On a cliffhanger, and it was awful.
Oh.
That
was a weird show. Like, it was good, but...
I liked it.
I don't know, one character, that was, like, really weird.
Yeah, it was pretty graphic too. It was good though. I liked it. But anyway, he played one of the characters, Francis McGuire, in it, and that's when I fell in love with him. And so when they were doing casting for the before Adult Roger, there were a lot of people that were in the running for it. He was one of them, as far as I know. I also think the guy that played Robb Stark was in the running for it as well.
Yeah.
But then they decided on Richard Rankin, who had just finished up with the Crimson Field, which was not getting renewed for another season, and Kevin Ryan had signed on to do another TV show. So, it's cool. I mean, I am not disappointed. Richard Rankin was actually... They did a whole lot of online polling, and as far as I remember... Richard Rankin was really the fan favorite.
He's very good looking, although I only like him with the beard. No offense, when he takes that beard off.
I like him either way.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, I'm sure he's probably not going to have a beard because, for God's sakes, it's,
yeah,
you know.
See, the thing is everybody talks about how awesome Jamie is, and Jamie's their book boyfriend, right? Okay, I like Jamie fine, but I love Roger.
Yeah,
love
Roger him. Is my book boyfriend, too.
Roger is my book boyfriend. I claim him. I don't
yeah,
need
you
to-
and half the Jamie fandom.
Jamie is good, right? But Roger is more my thing, okay? He's a musician and, you know, an historian, and he loves history. So we have that in common. So he's my book boyfriend. You know, like, Gilbert Blythe was my first book boyfriend, right?
Oh, did you know they're, like, the side note, did you know they're making another Anne of Green Gables?
Oh, man, nothing compares to Jonathan I know, Gilbert. Yeah.
So sad what happened to him. But no, okay, so, like, the one thing, I know this is, like, I'm going off into another tangent.
It's
but
cool,
like,
it's cool.
I'm slightly disappointed because, see, my little sister is a little redhead, right? And I was like, Hannah, you need to audition to be Anne of Green Gables. And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, this is the role of a lifetime, girl.
And you're a natural ginger.
Exactly. And you're a precocious little shit. You would be perfect. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, Mom, just make her do it or whatever, right? And my mom was like, I don't know, I'm really busy that weekend. Why don't you come down all to Ontario and do it? And I'm like, I can't come from Alberta, for God's sakes. Anyways, so long story short, my little sister didn't want to do it because she was afraid of disappointing me. Well, you know what? She's going to disappoint her goddamn self for not ever trying anything in her life. I'm sorry. I shouldn't, like, say this because I absolutely love her, but she's a goddamn redhead, okay? Like, for God's sakes, she would have been perfect.
But yeah.
Yeah. This was her one shot, and she really wants to, like, become famous when she's older. And I'm like, girl, this is your shot to do it, and you just missed it. You're going to have another chance, maybe, but, like.
You're a natural born Canadian redhead.
Yeah. Yeah, and like they were looking, they wanted to find the perfect, they were searching worldwide for the perfect Anne of Green Gables. They didn't even care if you had red hair, right? But no, girl, she's got red hair, and the only thing that's like kind of wrong with her is she's got glasses, but like, holy shit, contacts.
Do you remember when they re-released that Anne of Green Gables book and they put a blonde on the front cover?
People flipped their goddamn shit.
Like, the whole point is she hates her red hair and you ruined it. Ruined it.
Yeah.
I was like that little girl from that detergent commercial. Like, it's ruined!
Yeah, that was like the one thing she wanted. She wanted like anything but red hair because whatever it was, like, you know, in the 1800s, like, or, you know, early.
Redheads and orphans were horrible, horrible, you know, soul suckers.
Yeah, exactly. So she had both. And she wasn't a boy like they were hoping.
Yeah.
So
literally, seriously, my favorite book series when I was a kid, aside from Harry Potter. So,
yeah. It's so funny because, like, I only read maybe one or two and I'm actually Canadian. And like, no, the American is obsessed with it.
Yeah, the Megan Follows miniseries was amazing.
That one was the 80s one.
It veered off a lot from the books, but it's still my favorite rendition.
That's the 1980s one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That is the one that everybody like
loves. It's just like, you know, the only Pride and Prejudice is the one with Colin Firth. I'm sorry. That's just how it rolls.
It's true. That one is really the best one, too. Well, it's kind of like, The Thornbirds? That's another series that everybody freaking loved. Oh, my God.
If they ever remake that, I'll cry. Richard Chamberlain was just too perfect.
Oh, my God. I got a story about that from my mom. It's hilarious, right? So she used to work at a laundromat for my aunt because, you know, immigrants, that's what we do. Yeah, anyway, so she quit her job because her stupid aunt wanted her to work the last night while the last episode of the Thornbirds was playing. And she was like, fuck that. I am watching this goddamn episode. And she did. And she loved it.
That's awesome. Back then, there wasn't a DVR. You literally had to watch it or you'd miss it forever.
It's true. Yeah, like when I... when was she going to get it? Like, they didn't have Betamax for a while, I assume. Although she did, here's another story, because, like, I just love telling stories today. She did, they were, like, one of the first people that they knew to get a Betamax, like, way back when.
And a Betamax was the HD VCR, essentially.
Oh, yeah, and I guess movie, like, with, not when, like, video rental stores at the time, right? What you used to have to do to actually rent a DVD, or not a DVD, sorry, yeah, a Betamax, like, disc, you had to pay $150, right? Which is a which was a lot of money. That was a lot of money, right?
Betamax, Betamaxes were the most HD versions of, you know, stuff at the time. You know,
yeah, but the reason why they weren't that popular is because they weren't cheap like VHSs, and that's why VHSs, you know, reigned supreme. But anyway, so she got a Betamax, she had the actual machine, which probably cost like what, $600, and then she had to pay an extra $150 just to have the privilege to rent the Betamax discs or whatever the hell they were.
Like, they were tapes.
Tapes? Okay, well, how am I supposed to know this, okay? God.
You didn't grow up, I guess, even though you're older than me.
No, but, like, yeah. I saw a VHS, but I've never seen a Betamax to save my life.
That's because it was so horribly expensive. Yeah. And the Betamax tapes didn't hold as much as a VHS tape.
So. Well, it's kind of like how the media right now is trying to make Blu-ray a thing. But it's like, please stop trying to make Blu-ray
already,
a thing.
We already have DVDs.
Yeah. But no, like, everything has a friggin' Blu-ray thing. And I'm like, ugh, Blu-ray.
Of course, all of that is basically being bought out by digital online sources like Vudu and stuff like that.
Well, exactly. I mean, online. Why would I buy the actual movie for $10 when I can just, you know,
get... You can buy it online and get it for free, you know? Like, well, not for free, but, you know, you can watch it on different devices. You don't have to worry about your DVD scratching up, mm-hmm. you know? So there's a lot of advantages to buying online movies. So,
yeah,
unless you lose your password, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're done with this episode.
Yeah, we're just gonna talk about, you know, whatever we want now. I'm kidding, I'm not actually gonna do that, but I am going to see if we have any more iTunes reviews and things like that. Okay, so
I don't think so.
Well, not on the website, but I'm pretty sure we have, we've got one on the app. I know we do, okay? Because I checked and I was like, holy crap, somebody actually wrote it. So.
Oh, we have another one?
Yeah, yeah. So let me just quickly find it because,
Yeah, I don't check things.
Yeah, God, Gracie, sick of your shit.
I know, I'm a horrible person.
It's true. It's good that you finally admitted it. I'm sorry.
Well, admitting you have a problem is the first step.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay, it's coming up now. Okay. Okay. All right, so yeah, it says, great podcast. The hosts are very funny, and I love, oh God, this person could not, sorry, oh no, I really shouldn't say that, but like, I love interesting to their conversations about Outlander. So they really like our conversations about Outlander. Keep doing the podcast. So that was really nice, whoever you are.
Well, don't worry, random reviewer on the internet. We will, not stop with the podcast even after the episodes finish airing. So
no, exactly, like we're gonna keep,
we already got some plans, and we're actually gonna create where you guys can email us or get in contact with us about what you want on the show. So because we're gonna do some random things after the show's over, like fan theories and stuff. So
well, yeah, fan theories, also maybe talk a little bit about the books. And
yeah, and when we talk exclusively about books that you may or may not have read, we'll definitely put a big, huge spoiler alert beside it so you know
not to listen to us.
I mean, you can listen, but you've been warned.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Like, that's kind of, you know, the point where we tell you.
Yeah, we don't really want to get into that while we're talking about the show, because we don't want to spoil it for people that haven't read the books.
Mm-hmm.
I know a vast majority of you probably have, but for those of you that haven't, we're trying to be respectful.
Oh my god, that dog. That was a big whine.
He's normally not in the room with me when I'm recording, but today is just a different story, and he's just...
Well, yeah, because we actually had to record a little bit later than usual, and that's because I have a second job now, and they wanted me to work last night, so we couldn't do it.
We've had a fun day.
Yeah, it's been so busy for all of us, but...
Yeah, just ignore his wimpy whininess. He's fine. He's just a crybaby and a drama king.
Yeah.
Named Gigolo.
Name what? Yeah.
Gigolo, but we call him Jiggy. We named him actually... Gigolo because at the time we had four dogs and three of them were girls and he was the only boy. So we named him Gigolo.
Is that actually what you named your dog?
Yes.
Oh my god.
What?
Nothing. No comment.
It was the perfect name for the only boy in the house.
Well, he's still the only boy in the house.
Yeah, he is. And he's so wimpy. He's crying even now.
I know. I can hear him. Okay. So we should probably
Let me give you the link.
Yeah. link us.
Okay, if you want to get in contact with us or see our stuff, you can always go to our Tumblr, which is outlandersassinac.tumblr.com. If you want to see our Facebook page, it's www.facebook.com/outlandersassinacpage, which is all one word. And even if you want to email us, you can email us at outlandersassinac@gmail.com. And if you want to check out our blog, it's outlandersassinac.blogspot.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Gracie.
You're very welcome.
So that is what?
Definitely get in contact with us. We love hearing from you and we'd love to hear your suggestions for what we should talk about.
Yes, definitely. Especially with the show ending soon. And I mean, we got a few episodes that we're going to have to do because I'm going on vacation for like about 3 weeks. So, we got some ideas, I think, but,
yeah, we got a few, but we want to know what you guys want to hear about.
Yeah. So, and we'll like go into depth about what we give, you know, what we care about. Yeah. So that is kind of it. At least, I think it is, right?
It is.
All right, cool.
So we will see you next week, and hopefully you guys have a fantastic week ahead of you.
Yep, so, exactly.
Have a good one.
All right, see you guys later. Bye.